Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I appreciate you that are our guests being a little patient with us. Things done a little differently this morning, which I appreciate very much. But we appreciate those that have chosen to be our guests. We don't take it for granted. And as you were coming by and saying thank you to me, Lisa, Pastor Payne, Miss Mildred, I feel like that you deserve thanks. You're here. You could be out serving the devil this morning. Amen for slamming doors. You know what that means, folks? It means we got people in here. Amen. And I don't mind it. There's little kids making a little noise and in and out. Praise the Lord for them. I don't mind that at all. And I appreciate those who are here. And then all that's going to be taking place later. And last week, I tell you, the Lord was good. And I'm just looking forward to see what God's got for us this week. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read one verse. And then I'm going to share with you exactly what God gave to me. I'm not going to try to make it rhyme or it's nothing catchy. I'm just going to give it like I got it. How's that? Now, I do want to say this. If you are here today at Westside and you don't know everyone, that's okay. But the young lady that came down and kissed me square on the mouth was my daughter. So I just want you to know that. Say, oh man, they've gone crazy over at that church and preacher over there kissing people in the mouth. And I thought, man, a lot of people that don't know could misconstrue something. So we don't want you to think that I run around kissing the girls in the mouth. As long as the guys don't kiss me in the mouth, amen. Amen. I'm just glad to be here this morning. I tell you, forgive me for having a good time before I get started here. I want to share something with you. I was doing a little reading, and I shared this with Brother William and Miss Kim, and I believe maybe Miss Margie. But I read something in this election time, you know, trying to whittle down to who's going to be running for president and so forth. I was doing a little reading, and I saw where in 1967 in Ecuador, they were having, in a little town, they were having a mayoral race or a race for the mayor. And so one of the local, in Ecuador, they're nationwide, but they're a foot powder company. And my memory serves me right, it was Pulvedia Foot Powder Company. And so the foot powder company decided that they were going to use the election to help promote their foot powder. And so they sent out advertisements, and it said something like this: vote for whoever you want, but remember, for good health and comfort, vote Pulvedia foot powder. And so they went with that, and it was a very successful campaign. It was so successful that somebody had a bright idea that on the eve of the election, they would send out little pieces of paper that were shaped in the shape, color, and size of the ballot paper. And it said, vote Pavia for mayor. And so, of course, it was an advertisement. But lo and behold, if that little town didn't vote a foot powder in as mayor, that just cracked me up. I don't know if it bored you. I don't care. But it just cracked me up. I had to tell you all that. Well, anyhow, turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 18, Paul made this statement, but as God is true. Amen. I've got to tell you about this. Last night I was praying, and look, folks, I'm not unprepared. I've got an outline here. I've got an outline here. I've got other outlines written and stuffed, and I want you to know I'm not unprepared. But last night about 9:30, that thing hit me. God is true. And it hit me in such a way that I knew right then that's what God wanted me to talk to you about this morning. I'm not going to keep you long. We've already gone a little long because of the festivities and so forth. But I tell you, that thing got a hold of me. And thank the Lord the girls were not at home. And me and the Lord had a shouting good time. Because God is true. The Lord shared some scripture with me, and I want to share them with you in Matthew 22. You don't have to turn if you don't want, but you want, that's fine too. Matthew 22:16 says this, "We know that thou art true." Starting in verse 16, "And they sent out unto him their disciples." Now, this is talking about the Pharisees with the Herodians saying, "Master, we know that thou art true." Now, understand, these men were not saying this because they truly believed it. Matter of fact, they were about to try to catch Jesus by tricking him. I mean to tell you, they said, "Thou art true. We know that." And the reason I share this with you is so many times I have watched the world rebel and try to disprove God, and say things that are blasphemous, but yet somewhere within all their garbage, the truth is there. Meaning the truth of Christ, the truth that God is true. There's a movie that I absolutely detest and cannot and will not recommend it. It was made, I guess, back in the 70s, if my memory serves me correctly, called Jesus Christ Superstar. It was as blasphemous as one could ever get. But yet I saw a young man stand up and say, in spite of the blasphemy, as a lost man, he saw this and God used this blasphemous film to turn him and to make him start thinking about eternal things. And eventually he was given a clear, pure presentation of the gospel and was saved. I'm saying to you that even the things the devil uses to water down and dilute and tear up the true meaning and picture of God, he just can't help but trip all over himself. God uses even that for his honor and glory because God is true. These guys, they said, Jesus, they were going to trick him. They said, do you think we should pay taxes? I mean, you say we're supposed to give to the Lord, supposed to pay our taxes. Well, what are you saying? Do we give to the temple? Do we give to Caesar? And the Lord just said, anybody got some of that tax money handy? And somebody gives him a penny, and he looks at it, and he says, whose head is on this thing? And it wasn't Abe Lincoln, by the way. And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render unto God, which is God's, and Caesar, which is Caesar's. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying that God is true, even when nut jobs like these disciples of the Pharisees face the Lord and try to disprove or embarrass his truth, the truth still stands. That's how true God is. Then John, not 1 John, but John 1:9, we also see the true light here. It says in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Y'all know John the Baptist, right? "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Who's this light? This light, the true light, is Jesus Christ. And what's being told to us here, we are dealt the true light, meaning we have the true light at our disposal. And like John the Baptist, every one of us is appointed and encouraged and demanded or commanded that we point to the true light. Now, I don't know where everyone is right now in your spiritual walk. Man alive, I have a hard enough time keeping Alton Midget Jr. straight. But I'm telling you, no matter where you are right now, job one, Ford used to say. I don't know if they still say that or not. But for the Christian, job one is to put ourselves in a spiritual position and in a spiritual condition that we can point to the light. The true light. We're not the light. He's the light. But we're to be the pointer of the light. Amen? We can give directions. You know, they say that men do not like to stop and get directions. And I'm not going to lie to you. I believe that is true. It becomes a challenge. When I go to Lowe's and look for something, I do not like to ask anybody for help. It's the hunt, is it not? Guys, is it not the hunt? Man, it makes it fun because you don't know while you're hunting what else you're going to find that you might want to get. Amen. And I mean to say, it's the hunt. And the last thing I want to do is to stop and get directions. But I tell you what I don't mind doing. I'm like an attorney that will sit down with you for $20 and talk all day for his advice. I do like giving directions. Amen? There's a true God. He's the true light. And we need to fall in love with the idea that we are commanded and we are appointed to give direction to the true light. Hey, are we having fun yet this morning? I am. Y'all smile if you are. Wake up, whatever you do. But the true light is what I'm talking about. And then, I tell you, in John 3, chapter 3, verse 33, it says this, "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." Amen? Now, let's look at this just for a minute. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Now, what I like about this is that this word true means this, true. Amen? But it also means truth. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is truth. Another meaning for this word true is this. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is the lover of truth. Amen? God just isn't truth, but he loves to share the truth of the gospel. And he shares it through the Holy Spirit, which works through his men and women, his children, ladies and gentlemen. Are you with me? So not only is it that he loves truth, but like this, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal, and I'll get there in a minute, that God is speaking the truth. Amen. Amen. And the last word, it means he's truthful. That God is truthful. It means God doesn't lie. It means even when we read his word and lay claim to a certain verse and say, "God, you said this, but yet it has not come to fruition. It doesn't seem to be taking shape. It doesn't seem to be happening as we've asked or what we want. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter. That does not make God a liar. Our God is truthful. His time is not our time. His way is not our way. Amen. And I'm telling you that when God's two streets of opportunity and readiness intersect, His will be done. His truth will be fulfilled in your Christian life. Man, I tell you something. I'm having a good time this morning. You just forgive me. I hope I'm not boring y'all to death. But I'm enjoying what God gave me last night at 9:30. I'm just going to enjoy it whether you like it or not. All right, here we go. Here we go. Go back to this verse. He that hath received his testimony hath set it to his seal. Now let's look just for a minute. This seal is a signet, meaning a ring with a seal. Ladies and gentlemen, this seal is carefully crafted. God doesn't put together any junk. God has a seal, a carefully crafted seal. Now get ready for this. Carefully crafted, which the king or rich and powerful people used to authenticate the document. What is being told to us here is that God is true and it has been authenticated. Amen. I like that. It's got the certificate of authenticity that God is true. Man, I like that. The other day, I was watching. Y'all ever watch Pawn Stars? I was watching Pawn Stars, and I don't even want to tell you what Dad thought I said, but it's pawn, like pawn shop stars, and I mean, tell you, and this guy comes in, and he had this thing encased, and it was supposed to be a signature. It was the cast of the original Star Trek, and on every one of those stars was supposed to be the signatures of those stars. And this device that he had it encased in, these pictures had a certificate of authenticity. They brought in the expert, and the expert said, I can't help what the certificate says. This is not authentic. But you see, somebody lied to that man. I think he paid like $1,500 for it or something. Somebody lied to him that what he had was authentic. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a God. We have a Christ that has a seal. And he has authenticated that God is true. I like it. Now, I'm going to keep going. Is that okay with you? The ring. Remember old Pharaoh? Remember he gave his ring to Joseph? Remember Ahasuerus? First he gave his ring to Haman. And then Haman hung, amen, on the gallows. And then Mordecai took up the ring and did what was right with it. Darius had a seal. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Sealed, said, Daniel has got to go into the den of lions. And he sealed it, that it had to be done. And the king could not back up on his word. He couldn't back up on his word. Daniel went to the den. King Darius was walking the floor. The Bible, he walked the floors all night long, pacing the floors. Didn't know what was going on in there with Daniel, but because he could not back up, he had applied the seal. He could not back up on his word. There he was, stuck, trapped in his own command. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the story. Daniel, he came out well, did he not? King Darius finally came down that morning and said, Daniel, are you okay? Daniel had his head laying on the belly of one lion asleep, his feet up on another lion. Just as comfortable as the day is long. yawned and said, "King, why are you waking me up so early in the morning?" That's Al Talmadge's version. You can buy that one at the bookstore, I guess, if you want to. But the king could not go back on his word. I want to say to you that we have a king, and he cannot go back on his word. No matter what he has said, he cannot go back on his word. I'm so glad he cannot, because he's made his grace available to you and to me. He's made his mercy available to you and to me. He's made his love available to you and to me. Hey, folks, do you hear what I'm saying? He can't back up now if he wanted to. He is the God of truth that has laid the seal on his truth. It's a done deal. I'll take it, man. I'll take it all day long. I like it. Then there's John. John chapter 4 talks about the true worshipers. You know, the woman at the well. "But the hour cometh," the Lord told her, "and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Christ was letting this sinful lady know that there was a new economy on the way. No longer would there be the killing of animals for temporary forgiveness, but we would worship the true Lamb of God. I said the true Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, who would permanently eliminate our sin. Whoopee. That's a lot of work for that little bit of amen. I expected a lot more from you folks, I tell you that. Man alive, we come together and the choir started singing the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Man, I tell you what, we didn't have to sing about the poor little calf or that shaved little animal sheep or hey guys, yoo-hoo, we get to do this again next year. I'm talking about the sacrifices. No, man. We're talking about the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're talking about the Lamb of God that John the Baptist said is taking away the sin of the world. And the signet has a seal. The seal has been set. And God is true. And that's why we get so excited about the Lord. Well, let's go on. John 3:37. I like this. "And herein is that saying," what's the next word? "True." I like this. "One soweth, another one reapeth." You know what that got? You know why that got a hold of me? It seems to be a little out of place, but you know what got a hold of me? Because not last night, but the previous Saturday night, we had a 17-year-old boy fall on his face before God and ask the Lord to save him. He said, "Well, where is he today?" Hey, he's from a broken home. He's in Stone Mountain with his mama today because she said it's her weekend. And he's going to try to get back and be at church tonight. That's where he is. I was telling Brother Dave this. He was ready for the picking. I mean, he was ready for the picking. Dave gave the invitation. He stood up. Dave was had his back turned to him, was focusing in another area. Asked the teenagers to raise their hand if they weren't sure they'd go to heaven. And he didn't just raise his hand and put it down. He held it and held it and held it and held it. And when Dave said, "If you'd like to be saved and you're willing to stand up, he stood up in front of 22 other teenagers. The boy stood up, and we walked over to a little area about 100 60 or 100 feet away, sat down on two bales of hay and began to talk about the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, he knew all about Jesus. He knew about the cross. He knew about the burial and the resurrection. And he knew all about sin and what made him a sinner. He knew. Why? Because somewhere the truth was burned into his heart. And blessed be the name of God. The young fella showed up at a stinking corn maze and found Jesus. All because the truth was sown. And then the truth did reap them. Amen. The seal was set. God can't go back on his salvation. The man, the boy, if I could use this term, is doomed for heaven. Amen. I like it. If you're going to be doomed, that's a good place to be doomed to. Amen. Well, I'm almost done. John 6. Man, I tell you, I've enjoyed this morning. God bless you. I've enjoyed this. John chapter 6, verse 32. my Father giveth you the bread, the true bread. My Father giveth you the true bread. Now, folks, this is what Jesus told his disciples and thousands of other individuals not long after he fed the 5,000. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now, I tell you why I like this. Two or three things going on here, what I really like, is he fed the 5,000. And then you'll find just a few verses later, after he fed the 5,000, he fled from the 5,000. And the reason he fled, and you can read it for yourself, the reason he fled is because he knew that because of what they had seen, that they wanted to make him king. That's exactly right. Read it. It's there in that chapter. They wanted to make him king. They figured, hey, if this man could feed us and all these people once, he can do it twice. If he can do it twice, he can do it three times. And if he can do it three times, he can do it four times. And then you look at the political situation and the fact that these individuals were being oppressed by a foreign nation. I believe they said, hey, if this man can do all that, then he can also conquer our enemies. But man, he was saying, you've got me all wrong, fellas. He said, I got out of Dodge because I knew you were going to try to force me, read it, it's there, to be king. But I got out of Dodge. He didn't use the word Dodge, by the way. That's Alta Midget version again at the bookstore, $49.95. Amen. Because Moses gave you that temporary stuff. But I'm going to give you something that is so true, so irreversible, so irreversible. Did you hear me? I said it was so irreversible that when you eat this bread, you'll never, ever hunger. Man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man, you know, you know why I'm enjoying? Not because I like to hear myself preach, because I don't know how you folks can sit there and stand the tone of my voice. I don't know why you just don't all get up and go. I'm serious. But why I'm enjoying this the reason I'm enjoying this is because the Lord gave it to me. And he didn't just, it was like I was there studying one thing and then he hit me. And I went, woo! I said, Lord, where did that come from? Next thing I know, I'm running up the stairs praising the Lord that he spoke to this midget. Amen. Here we go, and I'm done. John 7:28 said, "Then cried Jesus." And you know where he was? In the temple. He was talking to the religious crowd as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true." God is true. Then he says, "Whom ye know not." Whew. True God in the flesh stood before them, and they just didn't get it. Do you get it this morning? First of all, do you understand that we're all sinners? We're pathetic. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm going to say this, it is gross, but that is making reference to the gross disease of leprosy. Those filthy rags were wrapped on a leprous person. It absorbed the leprous poison. Then they would change those filthy rags before putting on clean rags. And they take those, I'm sorry, it's just God's word, those pus-filled rags. Nobody wanted them. And discard them. That's our righteousness before God. So please don't tell me that you've kept the commandments, because frankly, you lied. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God is what I'm telling you. So just because we're in church today, just because even mom and dad are profession Christians, or grandma, or our church, our name is on the church rolls, that's not going to cut it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of religious people that come in and sing to the top of their lungs and wave their hands and are on their way to devil's hell. They just don't get it. Or if I could use, they just don't know him. Now, I want to share one more thing, and I'm done. This is it. You ready? You may be saved today. There may have been a time in your life you realized you were a dirty, rotten sinner. You fell on your face in all sincerity and said, "Lord, save me. I need to be saved. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature in Christ." And he did. But that may be as far as your relationship has gone. It may be that you have not allowed the Lord to work in you and with you and grow you. And frankly, even though you know him as your Savior, you really don't know him. You don't know his mind, his heart, his desire for you and those around you. I'm saying, we serve a true God. And I've enjoyed preaching it this morning. But let's go beyond that just a little bit and make it personal. Number one, do you know him as your Savior? And Christian, if you can say, "I know him as my Savior," great. But do you know him as your Master? When his Spirit whispers to your heart and instructs you, do you know him well enough to know that voice? And know him well enough, love him well enough to react and to obey? Every head bow, every eye close. Do you know him? He's the real God. He's the true God. He loves you. He died for you. And after we received him as our Savior, he didn't even stop there. He kept right on loving us. right on expressing his mercy and graciousness to us. So the invitation is this. Do you really know the Lord? First, as your Savior, and secondly, as your Master and King. Let's all stand, please, as the music plays. Do we know Him? Do we really know Him? Would you like to know Him better? Every head bowed, every eye closed.